Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
While we were away, Little Hands got into my studio.
Little Hands, was Adrian down there?
No. Adrian, what's with Adrian this morning? He seems to be a little
manic. He got some sleep.
Yeah, he got some sleep, and he came in, and he had posted on Facebook like 8 million times, and he's like really, really out of his mind today.
Well, I was working and just kind of listening to you guys in the background, and it's amazing the strange things that come up prior to the show, but I didn't realize as I was doing a little bit of work down here in the studio that Adrian is Jewish, which is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It is, yeah.
He's working on Passover.
Yeah, that's great. Now, who's the Seventh-day Adventist?
It's actually Adrian. Adrian was saying that he observes Saturdays because we were talking about religion in general. And I said, "What's Saturdays?" He goes, "I'm Seventh-day Adventist."
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, Adrian.
Yeah, thank you. I was born and raised as a Seventh-day Adventist. All my life, anything I knew was just going to church on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the strangest thing that the average person that is not familiar with your religion would tell us about being a Seventh-day Adventist?
They're very strict, health-wise, like food-wise. So they're all vegetarian, no meat. I guess
that's why you smoke so much weed.
I don't know.
But you can eat things that don't have meat in them, right?
You can, of course.
Family gourmet mac and cheese spirals.
That would be something you could eat, right?
Hey, so, no, how would they feel? How would the diehard Adventists feel about your proclivity for the herb?
Great question, Mike.
They would not be happy. Absolutely not.
Oh, they wouldn't be happy because you're poisoning your mind, right?
It's a vice, yeah.
How many vices do you think you have?
Isn't it incredible how chatty he was before the show, and now he's giving me like three words?
He locks up. He locks up.
And it's because
not all the time.
We yelled at him. We did. And this, I would say about one day in five when he comes in, we just have to tell him to shut up.
We also don't foster his growth. Because we murder him every time he talks.
Well, not every time.
Most times.
Most
80%
times.
Of the time.
82% of the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like today, before he started, we started giving him a little bit of positive feedback, and then all of a sudden he just took off.
Exactly.
He's not good with governing his output.
Yes.
But the interns know, overall, the interns know that we have esteem for them, especially if they're we've rarely had the intern that felt they needed to go away.
That's
true. We've had interns that have chosen to go away, but we've rarely driven them away. And I think that the interns kind of feel they feel the qawn from us a little bit.
With the exception of Vincent, they've all had a wonderful run.
Who was Vincent?
Vincent was the quiet lad that always executed, whether it was promos or attendance
projects. But he was gone like the wind.
Pony did not invite him to the Christmas party.
We burned him on the Christmas party.
And was he gone after that?
Yeah, because he was like, I didn't get a text.
Yeah.
I remember he called us right after a final and he was nervous and sick. And
that
was the last time we ever heard of Vincent.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Sayonara.
He went far, far away. So let's get back to your religion, Diego. So you were raised in it's a pretty devout environment, right? The Seventh-day Adventist?
Definitely, yes, 100%.
Do their holidays mesh with the Christian calendar?
They don't celebrate anything. They're very strict.
Man.
You know, why do I get the impression that we're getting this from a person that probably didn't really practice the religion as much as
he said he doesn't work
people.
On Saturdays. I agree with you, Mike, but I asked him if he observes. He said every Saturday he just chills.
I mean, as a kid, you don't have a choice to whether you want to observe.
I'm talking
or not.
About right now.
Yeah. But I mean, growing up, you had to go to church. You had to, not do anything. You couldn't hang with your friends on Saturdays.
So Saturday, what was Saturday like? How many hours would you be in church on Saturday?
The whole day. It sucked. You would wake up at 8 in the morning.
Watch your mouth.
I mean, now looking back at it, I'm happy I went because that's where I met some of my closest friends are from church.
Yeah.
Lifelong friends are from church.
Mm.
Right.
Jesus Christ, Mike. My best friend.
Ladies.
Oh, my God.
So
definitely.
8 o'clock in the morning to what? At like 5 o'clock in the afternoon?
So church service would start at 9. You'd be out by noon. You go home for lunch. Then they would have a youth service starting up again around 5 o'clock. And that would end around 7.
When did you stop going every Saturday?
Not till recently, actually.
Really?
Just because of the overnight shifts, I would always be working. I love going to church.
All that prostitution at night.
Yeah.
I was actually a youth counselor at the church.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever talk at church about the hookers you hang out with?
Oh, of course not.
Well, I think it would be nice. You could save them.
So what does a... Can I ask you this?
Later.
No.
For that long a service, like 9, 10, 11, 12, 1... Not 3 hours. So 3 hours, you can see. I can see where you could stretch a regular service with music.
It's an average Latin mass.
Yeah.
Is there music? Is there music in the service?
There's music. There's Sabbath school. There's a sermon.
Donuts.
All right. So it's just a really long service. But then the thing that starts at 5 o'clock. What would that be?
The youth service. So in every Saturday afternoon, the youth of the church would have their own service that would be geared towards younger
CCD.
People.
And how long would the youth service run?
Well, since it's being put on by youth, it's very short, about an hour or two.
Okay, so your total time commitment is like 4.5 hours.
Yes. On
all right,
a day,
so
you're supposed
not...
to be resting, though.
Yeah. They put them to work.
Yeah, I've never really bought into, and a lot of religions do this, the fact that you do church on a day of rest. Church is not very restful. I don't think church is not restful.
Church is an obligation.
Yeah.
Get yourself all cleaned up, put on your Sunday go-to-meeting clothing, and do that.
If Sunday is a day of rest, let me stay home.
Well, that's so you're doing it on Saturday. Then what do you do on Sunday? Is Sunday just a real fun day?
Yeah, Sundays are for
Sunday
football.
Of fun day.
Sunday fun day.
So
Sunday fun day.
One of the things our church has is sort of like a boy girl scout type of thing. We call it the Pathfinders. And so every Sunday we
sponsored
by
Nissan?
No. But
Pathfinders, they had two hits, you remember, Mike, in 1968. The Pathfinders.
Wasn't there a real group called the Pathfinders?
I believe there was, yeah.
Look up Pathfinders, somebody. We got 12 bodies in there. Somebody look up Pathfinders.
Yeah, so every Sunday, every morning, the Pathfinders would, you know, get together. You know, we'd practice our camping skills, our marching.
Make out.
No.
Lots of heavy petting.
I love growing up
you know,
as a Pathfinder,
you're the one, Rob, you're the one that's going to be like the guy that's going to have the people protesting outside because of the things you're saying.
And it's simply, you know, it's just
disrespectful,
just fun.
You know.
I respect, Mike, I'm a nice guy.
But I'm so curious because I've never... Really,
it's very
spoken
foreign.
To a Seventh-day
yeah.
Adventist. It's kind of interesting, you know.
You say was Dr. Kellogg?
Yes, we were talking about that because, like I said, one of the very strict things that Adventists have is their diet. And,
right.
Yeah. Believe it or not,
and we all know he was a bit of a flake.
Plastic flake. Nice. And so, Will Kellogg actually—he was one of the first. He started the sanitariums back in the 20s, I think.
Yes.
And they were really big.
Wait, hold on. Okay, see, when you just have minimal knowledge, and then you
say
it quickly.
Yeah, the guy doesn't know what's going on.
He started what? Sanitariums? What? Like he started insane asylums?
Metallica?
No, back in the 1920s.
In Battle Creek, right?
Battle Creek, Michigan. Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what else he invented, Mike?
Kellogg's Frosted Flakes.
Do you get the impression if we knew about the subject matter that we'd be listening to somebody go, back when Ben Franklin died on the cross for our sin. Right?
Yeah.
Do you get the impression
right.
that it's just hardly any real knowledge of this subject matter?
But do you
That's
remember
the
movie?
The overwhelming
do you remember the movie with Matthew Broderick where he went to get himself Road to Wellville? It was called, and he said it has no more odor than a hot biscuit.
That I remember.
That's Dr. Kellogg. That's his entire sort of deal is that even though he was making the breakfast cereals and the foods like that.
Like philosophy of life
he
gone
had a
mad.
Yeah, he had a philosophy. Exactly. Also, I believe, and I might be wrong here, but I'm not.
So Dr. Kellogg was a Seventh-day Adventist?
He was, and he created this hospital to just based on the principles of Adventism. So, you know, hydrotherapy.
What are the principles of Adventism?
Just healthy lifestyle, healthy eating, exercising, eating healthy things.
No booze.
No booze, no drugs.
No sugar?
You know, limited amounts in moderation. Like anything.
Okay.
And
well, that's smart.
Yep. And he created the process of flaking, like the flaking.
Flaking? Like not showing up or leaving?
He created the process of flaking?
Of making flaked cereal.
Oh, okay. All right.
And also, didn't he cure women's quote-unquote hysteria with vibrating devices?
I mean, isn't that still a problem going on today?
I don't know.
Hold on. Wait a minute. If he created the healthy lifestyle, he created like the sugary cereals that have probably been responsible for more childhood obesity than anything else.
What say you, Adventist?
Well, you know who we blame for that? We blame C.W. Post, who was a guest at the sanitarium. and he observed the flaking process.
Honey
and took
Smacks?
That. Yeah.
Oh. He stole it.
Yeah, but hold
it.
On. But that'd be fine if Kellogg, you know, didn't come up with his own sugary cereals. But, I mean, Kellogg's Frosted Flakes.
Exactly.
Is there anything more sugary than
Kellogg's
that?
Kellogg's Frosted Flakes.
Big sugar, Mike.
Hey, that's the first time you've ever matched a subject.
I know. This is a
Pat
new game.
Neely.
Exactly.
That's a,
Kellogg's this is, Frosted Flakes.
Did you do some homework over the weekend? What, do you have them indexed or did you just get incredibly lucky?
You know, Mike, luck is when opportunity meets skill.
There was a soul band, and it looks like in the 50s, the Pathfinders, and then there's a metal band that came out 4 years ago.
Okay.
That plays metal. It's called the Pathfinders.
The Pathfinders.
I've got a church choir here.
You do?
Yeah, from 1993.
Do they eat sugar?
No.
Okay.
No sugar at all.
No sugar at all. So he stole the flaking process.
Correct, yes. And then he started his own post-cereal thing.
Now, you don't do a lot of church anymore, you've said.
Because I work.
I understand, and we all do. But you sometimes have to make time for the Lord.
Yeah.
Is your pastor called a pastor?
Yes.
All right. Is it, you don't call him father or anything like that?
No,
Catholics
no.
Do?
Is it sacrilege for you to buy another cereal outside of the Kellogg family?
It's frowned upon.
Okay.
Oh, what is it
the,
really?
No. I'm just
excited.
All right, I'm gonna pepper you with some questions now.
And lightning round.
These are gonna be religious questions, okay? Marriage. What is the? Are you allowed to marry more
multiples?
Than one
person? Or, yeah.
One person. They don't believe in gay marriage, though.
Okay, so they're anti-gay. A lot of marriages are anti-gay. What is the feeling about divorce?
Divorce is bad. I remember when I was a kid.
I know divorce is bad. I'm asking what the church's philosophy is.
It's frowned upon again. They actually.
Well, it's frowned upon, and so it's not a big deal, though, right? You can be a Seventh-day Adventist and still be a member of the church if you're divorced. That's the question I have.
You better go to a different church because, I mean, you're not the same. People don't look at you the same anymore.
But I don't think we're looking at social standing. What Mike is saying is that up until very recently, the Catholic religion would not let you be divorced.
Oh,
you have
wow.
to have your marriage annulled.
No, I had no idea about that.
Amazing.
Did they change something?
No, I don't know where it stands now. I'm just talking about when I...
Well, you're another person that's popping off without any real knowledge.
Yeah,
they haven't changed a goddamn thing, Rob. You still have to go and get it annulled. You can't, like, roll back in there.
One thing has changed.
What?
I'm not going to Mass anymore.
Well, so they haven't changed it. I don't know where you created that in your brain that they changed. That's a big deal for me personally, and they haven't changed that. You still... I walk into a Catholic church at my mother's funeral, they say, you can't take the wafer.
Yeah, sit in the back,
and
fatty.
Receive Holy Communion.
Yeah.
And what was funny was to see all my, all my cousins and me lining up. We
right.
did it. It's my of mom's course. Funeral. I'm going to receive
go
communion
anywhere.
On my
do
mom's
funeral.
I did a
Period.
Reading at my grandmother's funeral, and the priest said, and you're a Catholic in good standing, right? I said, absolutely.
So, how
do the Seventh-day Adventists feel about the most important meal of the day?
Kellogg's Nutri-Grain Breakfast Bar.
all right, we've got divorce. They don't like divorce. They frown on. Do they shun people?
Yes, they do. If you're
is that part of the Seventh-day Adventists? Do they shun?
I think just a very old school just way of the church. But I mean, if you, on teen pregnancies. You're out of the church. Like,
oh, no.
They take you to trial at that church.
How dare they? Mm.
It's a good thing that you don't make love.
I've got a good one. I've got a good one right here.
Yeah.
How do they feel about a host ruining a show where he was supposed to talk about his big weekend at the Masters?
It's the Michael Mara Show. You can listen to the Michael Mara Show at www.michaelmaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Michael Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I do find the 16 and pregnant show kind of mean-spirited, you know, because you got a camera crew there like, all right, you don't have any money, no one's helping you raise your children, all hope is lost, and cut. Good luck with everything, we gotta go. Let's go! Sorry, there's this other 16-year-old girl that lives down the street that had all the advantages in life. She's about to have an amazing birthday party. We gotta film that for her second show called Super Sweet 16. It's a shame you guys can't switch places for a week, because her is sweet. Oh, I hate the girls on Super Sweet 16. Whenever I watch that show, I'm like, ugh, can someone impregnate this girl and ruin her life, please? What an awful person. That'd actually be a better show. They just did horrible stuff to that girl for a week. Meet Amanda. She's 16 and horrible. So we cut the brakes in her car. We put a bunch of holes in her condoms. Let's see what happens this week.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
That was a clip from the fabulous Vern Troyer comedy special. I'm sorry, who was that guy?
That's Aziz Ansari.
Who is that?
Aziz Ansari. He has a very high voice.
I know who he is. He's a very popular comedian. He just
has that kind of voice.
Live from the Pfeiffer Studios in Washington, D.C., the Mike O'Mara Show is on the air. The Mike O'Mara Show, a national podcast and radio show with a loyal following around the world. TMOS listeners get it, and if you're here, so do you. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673, or MikeO'MaraShow.com. Online, on air, on now. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Today brought to you by Blue Apron. Here's a fact. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. They achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest quality standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Quite simply, it's the better way to cook, and we love it in the O'Mara household. Cooking together builds strong family bonds, and research shows that Blue Apron families cook together nearly three times more often. Each meal, I have to tell you, though, Mrs. O'Mara likes to surprise me with our Blue Apron recipes. So she won't allow me sometimes in the kitchen because she's making a big deal of it, and she brings out the great food, and it surprises
me. That's cool.
So.
That makes it even more fun.
Carla posts those on Facebook. Yeah. You can see what she makes. Each meal comes with a recipe card, pre-proportioned ingredients. It can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Here's some samples for you. How would you like some spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, and ricotta salata, or sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice? That is good stuff.
Yeah.
Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. Check out this week's menu and get three free meals. That's right, three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TMOS. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/TMOS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And welcome. Good to be back on the show. Thank you for
missed you
covering
yesterday.
Me. Yesterday, I will tell you, very rare is the experience where something goes beyond living up to the hype, and there's nothing that's really more hype than that golf tournament, the Masters, to be there in Augusta, Georgia, on my bucket list, a dream trip. And I think I said this to you guys when I called in yesterday. I truly don't think I will ever go back, even if I'm able to, simply because I just don't think I could ever come close to having the experience.
Well, many of the variables exceeded what you could expect. I mean, a fantastic tournament play, which is great. You had amazing weather, which is not
amazing
always the case.
Weather. Absolutely
and,
incredible.
Just a wonderful,
best weather you could ever have.
And you got to go there on the last day to see everything go down, and you had your chairs.
And we went in, and we did everything kind of like veterans would have done by accident. It was completely
by accident.
Now,
you said that to me
accident.
Actually off air yesterday, that there was almost like a synchronicity, an accidental sort of happening that you looked like you knew what you're doing.
Know,
what happened?
I might have overstated that because simply I think that this event is so perfectly run that I was just surprised by how easy it was to walk around and see different things. Just the efficiencies. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have so many things to tell you about how good it was. And then I have the moments that were questionable about the entire trip. And when I do this much show prep to come in, because I know everybody says we're dying to hear about it. We want to hear about the Masters.
Yes.
I don't know whether to go jump right into the tournament or go the chronology of the trip itself, because
I think the chronology
I think
would
a chronology service. And as, before you start, I was thinking about you guys so much over the weekend because it is a great sporting event, but also I've been to many great sporting events, like traveled to them with you, Super Bowls and Final Fours and all these things, and all I could think about is, oh my God, I hope it's not like an NFL thing where you get so
bitter.
That's
a good place to start, Rob. Thank you. That's actually a really, really good place to start because that is what I will start with.
Okay.
How to describe this? There are many, many people who are return customers that have gone to this tournament, and you have a lot of information before you go in about how you're going to have to conduct yourself. This is This is, I guess the word I would use would be crowd manipulation to a certain extent.
All right.
This is just, this is people being treated, I don't want to say like they're children, but they're managed, but they're treated so well that they don't mind being managed. I'll give you a great example.
Okay.
One of the most pointed and funny comments came from a woman in the gallery on the 18th green on Sunday when the photographers were coming up the fairway before the last group, Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia came in. And a photographer was running by the gallery, and a woman in not a scream voice, but just a very matter of fact, because it was quiet, said, "No running," and the entire group the gallery, because you're not allowed to run. You're not allowed to run. By the way, when I watched it when I got home last night, I saw some running.
There's running.
I saw some no, mm-hmm. right at the end running. But by and large, in the morning, for example, when you get there, you're not allowed to run. Let me take it. The only way I can do this is to take it step by step by step.
All right.
and start with the trip down, which began Friday, middle of the day. And Friday was our trip up, and I one of the first things that I was curious about, because it has never happened, it's happened to Oscar a lot, I have never flown on Southwest Airlines.
Really? That shocks me.
And so I didn't know the whole Southwest Airlines drill. And, you know, when you do that for the first time, you're kind of a rube.
It's very
different.
Because
you're just wide-eyed and seeing the way they put people in categories.
They heard you in A, B, or C.
They heard you in A, B, and C, and I'm looking down.
And no running.
And so I looked down, and I see we are A21.
Oh,
and Carla
strong.
Is A22.
Pretty
and
good.
And I looked down, and I said, well, we got pretty lucky like that. And Carla looks up at me and said, you rube. So they bought your plane ticket. The fan people, the fan club,
yeah,
did this.
The early bird.
The
access.
Early bird. Sure. It was said something like early. Said
early
they
bird
did this. They,
check in what allows you to get an A group boarding pass.
Mm-hmm. So they did that, and they line you up, and on your ticket you have A group A, B, and C, and that's how you board the plane. And then once you are in that group, you can sit anywhere
you
want.
Free for all.
Yep.
But it's prevented up being a free for all because they put the groups in order.
Yes.
So
you
have
but
an
you get
orderly
to pick your
boarding.
Seat once you're on the plane.
Yeah, you pick the seat, and you know. By the way, those are I'm not sure whether Southwest could squeeze any more seats into those planes, but they might want to try. Now I know why you like it. You know.
Well, because, I've never seen a bigger seat, Mike. I didn't know they made them bigger.
Here's the thing about the 737s, which I haven't flown on in a very long time because I fly the smaller jets when I'm traveling.
It's an airline like unlike any other.
Unlike any other. But it was not. And I noticed that on these seats, it's just been a while that, you know, that the little porthole, the little window on the 737, you know, the top of it comes up to my left elbow. You
sure.
Know, I feel like you're sitting way, way above. I like almost put my feet all the way out and recline because I love to look out the window. But it's tough to look out the window when it's down here.
I'm shorter than you. B, as far as flights are concerned and airlines, it simply is one of the cheapest airlines to fly, and that's why I've always chosen.
And
right?
It shows. Right. Yeah. What was the age of the aircraft, Mike? Were there ashtrays in the
2004, the one going up was 2004. The one was born in 2012 that we took back down. So
not bad.
Relatively,
yes. Not
relatively
bad.
New aircraft.
2012.
And,
brand
and
new
both landings, and both landings, the one in Atlanta and then the one coming back in Fort Myers, want to salute the Southwest pilots because they were both very, very interesting landings. You know, they really were.
Did you get any personality special. From your ladies on board or gentlemen?
No real personality, okay. But they were veterans. You could tell that they
brassy broads.
Brassy broads that knew their stuff. And we had a little something that was brand new. I didn't even add this to the show prep yesterday. They wanted to board the plane extra quick coming home because the vice president, apparently, is that Air Force Two? That's the vice president that's coming in. The vice president. So they boarded very quickly. And once again, thank you to the Southwest pilots for two very skilled landings.
They call it the shake and bake, Mike.
Now, if they were both I mean, interesting landings,
I thought
were they similar landings or were they interesting for different reasons?
Yes, they were similar, fast, land. They do everything fast. It seems like they do everything fast. They push back from the gate fast. They board the planes fast. They get them up in the air fast, and they land fast, faster than I'm accustomed to. And
quick turnaround.
You know, to be honest with you, I think the two words that Carla heard when I got off the plane were probably indicative of my experience, just based on that alone. And those words were never again.
Mike, you know you've got a
never again.
You've got a culture of hard landings. When I have to engage my core every time we land. Because one time,
this is not unusual for Southwest, right?
The only reason I know to engage is because I've been burned in the past.
Sure.
It really was fast, and I was kind of like taken aback by the whole experience with that. But that's not the most fun thing that happened. When we go on the road like this, when Carla and I are doing something that's show related,
yeah,
and especially if I'm taking a day to travel like I did on Monday, Carla becomes kind of a scribe. She's jotting things down for me, and we didn't have to wait.
Did you sit together on the plane?
What's that?
Did you sit together on the plane?
Yeah, she sat in row 21. I was in row 4. And everything was fine. But this falls in. I am not proud of what happened. I'm not because of my reaction. I am not proud, but I will tell you that we love the word schadenfreude on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Shameful joy, yes.
Yeah, when we come back, I will tell you all about the schadenfreude moment at the fabulously convenient Atlanta Airport.
Greatest in the country, Mike.
Hartsfield, right?
Yeah,
Hartsfield?
That's
is
the
that
one.
What it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God love him. And a man who was not in the know.
No.
We didn't laugh at him out loud, but boy, everybody was snickering. He deserved it. We'll tell you all about that. And then I'll get right to the greatest sporting experience I have ever had, spectator sport experience that I've ever had in my life, and I will never have it again.
Cool.
I know that for a fact. That is the overwhelming feeling I have. We'll come back with more fun and more thrills. And don't forget, say hi to a Seventh-day Adventist if you see them. We'll be right back.
Have you had trouble breathing after laughing from Mike's impressions? Do you have questions about Oscar's legal status? Have you been injured as a result of tripping over Rob's little sounds? Call into the law offices of O'Mara, Spiewak, and Santana. You can call the show at 9 a.m. every Wednesday at 888-920-6673. The offices of O'Mara, Spiewak, and Santana. Legal advice that we're not legally certified to give.
Who did that? Dan
That's
O'Brien?
Dance. That's Dan. Good
Dan
job
Dan O'Brien.
That.
Well done, my boy. I love those. Fantastic. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by FanDuel Golf. Timing is great for that. How
oh,
about
yeah.
that?
Oh, hey. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, even with me picking the big winner of the Masters, didn't win my little FanDuel thing over the weekend. Sorry.
Oh, well.
Almost.
But anyway, please tell me that you've tried fantasy golf on FanDuel. It is so much fun. It is the best. After my weekend, I'm all about golf. FanDuel makes it even better. If you love golf and you love winning cash prizes playing on FanDuel, you have got to try fantasy golf. It will make it so much more fun for you. Now, you know, the Masters is just the first major of the season.
Right.
So all the biggies are coming up. There's something for everyone, and contests start at just $1. Watch your score live and win cash prizes. Just submit your golf lineup before tee off on Thursday morning. And baseball season is back too. Baseball season is back too. So that means daily fantasy baseball is back on FanDuel. Over 2.5 million players have won cash prizes playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Why not you? To get you started, new users will get FanDuel's Combo 5-Pack valued at up to $50. That's 5 free entries to a combination of 50-50 beginner contests. Just finish in the top half to win cash. To get your 5 free entries, go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and enter the promo code TMOS. That's FanDuel.com, promo code TMOS, void where prohibited. Get started today on FanDuel. We absolutely love it. So we land at the airport. It's I have to say
it's
about
a short
Southwest
flight,
Airlines,
isn't it?
Hour and 25 minutes,
okay.
Something like
all
that.
Right.
I have to say, really, study and efficiency. I liked that about Southwest Airlines. I actually like the way they did that. And, you know, we were concerned because last week with the storms that came through Georgia, Delta was all in a tither.
Oh, right. So, Delta's paying the price.
300 flights canceled, right?
Yeah, the Atlanta airport was all a quiver, and that is a massive Delta hub. So you see that. And it was a beautiful, clear day to fly in on Saturday, so I got a chance to see that airport from the air, and it is massive. And we land, and it's so massive that there are trams and trains and walkways and escalators, but like you've never seen. It's a massive airport. It's too big.
Yeah.
It's really too big, and it's just confusing. But the first thing you do when you land is you want to go to baggage claim. But
sure.
Like many airports where baggage claim might be an escalator or, you know, just a short walk into the main terminal. No, at Hartsfield Airport, you have to take a train to get to baggage claim. It's that far away.
Wow.
And let me just say that as we got on this little tram, there's speed and then there's torque. Torque is something that I love on an automobile because it gets that incredible thrust that you have. And the G-forces created by this little tram that has this torque that goes from the terminal to baggage claim is significant. And I fortunately, because, you know, I like to sit, I made my way to the little area in the back. And there's a seat there. And I said, I'll grab this. This
Did
will
it
be
say
no
priority seating?
It might have been for handicapped people. But
well, you've
the way
been
my,
through it, yeah.
The Get way the my hip, legs Mike. Were feeling at that point, I said, what the hell, the bad hip? But I had no idea that the tram would be so incredibly torquey, speedy. And and so we go from our terminal. I think we were B or C or D. I don't know which one it was. And then we're going to stop at a couple more terminals on the way to this massive, massive baggage claim. So the torque of this thing is just like, holy zingas. I mean, bam, right out of the gate, this thing goes. And then a lady got on at the next terminal, and I gave her my seat, and I stood up, and I'm holding very tightly at this point this, you know, the little pole that's in the middle to make sure, you know. And then we got to the next terminal, and a man, probably 61, 62 years old, appeared to be completely fit.
Okay.
But he had a look. I didn't notice at the time. I noticed this afterwards. If I'd seen it before, he would have had kind of a glazed look on his face where he's just like, you know, I'm in this confusing airport, which is very confusing for new people, and I'm just, eh. Okay, that's the way I will describe it.
Yeah, and you know what?
Look.
That's a common thing because you're usually wore out when you're traveling anyway. And if you get into a big airport, you can glaze. You can zone out a little
bit. I'm facing you, and the tram, the train, the bullet is going to be going backwards, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
okay.
I'm facing you, and we will be going backwards. The man is facing me and about eight other people, and we're at the front of the little train. In back of the man are 50, 60 people. They're just, they're all stacked up. It's very, very crowded. The man hops on, is not holding on to anything, and is standing up like he would be standing in the middle of a cocktail party,
having
a conversation from people. And the train rockets out of the station, and this guy goes backwards, but he doesn't just fall. What happens is he looked like you or me, Rob, back in the 90s coming out of a bar in New York.
Oh, boy.
He began the death spiral where he dominoed, and we went, oh, my God. He took out seven people.
Oh, what?
He hit one. He fell backwards. The other person fell. The person after that fell.
Oh, no.
And it was, I've never seen anything quite like it. His elbows never touched the ground because people were so stacked up, but he took seven people a variety of positions
Unreal.
Off of their feet
Unreal.
As the torque of this thing. And, you know, you just like, this was kind of the reaction. Everybody did the same thing. It's like, whoa. God. Oh my God, did you see what he just did? And they help Captain out of it to his feet, and the expression never changed at all. He had the same and then he got to the terminal and you saw him get off just like, hey, on your way out of it. See you later.
Have a great day. You see a hammered look on his face?
No. You could tell the type of guy that's not. This guy's like an accountant for IBM. He's never been hammered a day in his life, all right? You could tell by the look. You know, he's got the, but he's got the cap, and he's got the little white shoes on, and he's on his way. There wasn't an apology.
I'm going to put on my hat, and I'm going to the airport, and I'm going to get my bags.
Right. let me just say, that happens to me. I'm doing a monologue for like 11 people on the track.
Oh, and
I'm
going
to say not only thank you, but my Irish guild would have been like, hey, here you go. Here's my card. Yeah. Really. We'll send you a hat. Thank you. Thank you very much. Sorry for knocking you out when you're coming out. And it's just the torque of this thing. Like, it's efficient, but the airport itself is insanity. There's a reason why, Rob, when we used to travel for the old Don and Mike show, there is a reason why if I saw we were going through Hartsfield, I'd make other arrangements and like go to Denver.
Yeah.
Because it was just because I don't like that,
it brings out the worst in people.
Oh my God, that airport is insanely difficult to negotiate. I mean, you take the little shuttle to the terminal. Then you do the 15-mile walk to get to the actual baggage claim. Then after baggage claim, to go get a rental car, you go across the street, go up another escalator, and you go into the rental car train center where you wait for another train that's going to take you, that's going to take you to the rental car center. All very efficient, all very ultra-modern, but all, Jesus Christ.
Spread out. You know what it is? It's the Houston.
Could you build anything together, you know?
It's the Houston of airports. Right. It is just too spread out. It's like the city of Houston.
Well, the good news is when I got on the train to go to the rental car center, I knew to hold that pole.
Yeah, I guess
so. Because I wasn't going to be, you know, the guy that took the people out. By the way, if you'd been in my weight class, we would have had a fatality. We would have had some sort of severe injury.
We have a derailment between gates B and C.
Oh my God! It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible, and you know. I have to say to everybody that made the arrangements, everything was done. Everything was,
great.
I think we made, they covered everything for me. It was absolutely incredible. And Mrs. O'Mara and I had a brief altercation earlier in the week concerning my driving and the fact that I am a bit of a type A driver that drives her insane. Mm-hmm. As she likes to put it, it puts my stomach in knots when you get like that. And I understand it. It's one of the few things, believe it or not, she has a lot to criticize me about, but it's one of the few things where I understand that.
I thought you'd gotten to a point where she does most of the driving now.
Yeah, she didn't drive anymore.
She wants to, but here's the thing. We've got the 21-year age difference, and if she does most of the driving,
You're the older one, right?
No, I just feel like I'm going to have that same expression on that guy that gets off the tram, you know, where I'm just going to be like,
just drooling.
Get my oatmeal. Get my oatmeal. So she and I, it came to a head where we actually pulled off right outside our community, and we had this long discussion about it. And I'm like, listen, if it's that big a deal, then fine. You want to drive when we're going somewhere? That's cool, and I'm cool with it. So, flash forward to picking up the rental car, and we get a great one.
It's a great one.
It's a great one. We got upgraded from a sedan to an SUV with plenty of room to put luggage in, for me, I like having a big SUV. And Carla waited for the luggage, and I went off to the train to get the rental car, which is our usual drill.
Sure.
And then I pull up, and I load the luggage in the car, and that's the way it happens. And so I had forgotten about this massive altercation that we have, and our very first day for our dream away from the Kid Masters begins where she goes, okay, I'm driving. I said, you can't. They didn't get your license. You can't drive. And honest to God, it was an oversight on my part. But of course, that's not the way the average mind works on my wife, because she thinks it's this big scam.
It was a plan, a long range plan. And actually, Stephen Douglas McIntyre built it into the itinerary that you would drive.
But it wasn't. It wasn't at all. It wasn't at all.
I know,
by the way, the reason I'm telling you this is this will come into play later on this evening.
Okay.
When we arrive at Augusta, when we get into Augusta, Georgia. So we're having that. You know, I'm saying, isn't this great? Look what everybody's done for it. Look at this trip. This is great.
It's a great
I'm driving.
One.
No, he said, oh, you did? No, I said, you can't drive. And so we're sitting there, and I'm like, I think something was like, okay, the trip is ruined. I have to drive. The trip is ruined. You know, it could be worse. I'll sit in the passenger seat. How about I get in the trunk? How about I get in the trunk of the car, and then I get off the tram where the man fell and go, hey. You know, so that's how it starts out. And the first, I would say, like, the first 5 to 10 minutes are very, very tense and chilly in the car. When I finally said, look, this is going to be a great weekend, let's reset. And she likes that word. I said, let's do a reset. We did a reset, and everything was
like
fine.
Like a video game.
Well, they unplugged the trip for 10 seconds.
They blew, on, the car- they blew on the cartridge.
Blew on the cartridge.
Put it right back in.
Legend doesn't get upset. I hope she doesn't get upset at me.
Who's
telling
Link?
This. But I'm going to also share with you. I'm going to share with you that ultimately, this is pre-tournament, okay?
All right.
And this is someone who is looking forward to a weekend away from our son for a little R&R, but at the same time, truly believing that this is my thing, which it is. This is something I want to do. So we're in that pregame where the childlike joy that I'm already experiencing, you know, going, we're going to this golf tournament that I never thought I'd be able to see and that I've always wanted to go to. She's not sharing the level of childlike joy that I am. And, you know, both of you, you've been around women enough to know that, you know, if someone is not matching your unbridled enthusiasm, it can become... I'm being as diplomatic as I can.
You're doing a great job.
It can become a tad problematic.
Yes. They become joy kills.
Because you feel, because this is such a joy for you that no one should be in the way of your joy, and you become a little self-absorbed, which I was.
Sure.
So that's how it
starts.
And
you can't send her home. That'd be my move.
Yeah.
Well, no, because she can't drive the car.
I would rather, as my mom would say, mejor andar solo que mal acompañado, which is basically rather go alone than with bad company.
Well, it was chilly, and then we did a reset. Hey,
Mike, you're a patient man, because I would have turned that car around, dropped her off at the airport.
This story was told simply because this comes to a head again, when I get the Johnny Hypocrisy Award.
Oh!
Because it'll come up later.
I didn't realize there were awards given.
Because it's going to be another example of when she and I were not exactly on the same page.
Okay.
But it has a very happy ending. We ended up having, I have to say, to skip ahead, I don't care about skipping ahead. We ended up, this was one of the greatest experiences we have ever had.
Collectively, yeah.
She was with me on that, but we had to mire through a lot of crap before.
Were there, without being a spoiler alert, were there other resets during the weekend?
One.
Okay.
One major one. Because we had not yet met, John Wayne Gacy.
Okay.
So we will come back and tell the story of Mr. O'Mara wanting to have one more beer after dinner at the outside bar at the restaurant we went to. Strike up the conversation. You know, man, used to have good judgment about things like that. Not anymore. We'll take a break. I'll tell you about the crazy man when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This week's O'Mara cast is packed with a lot of celebrities. Bill O'Reilly stops by the bonus show.
We have a good time and we do it all live.
Rob Mayer visits the Tony Perkins show.
Yeah, baby!
And Oscar Santana makes a new friend.
Kitty.
Plus, a fan favorite comes home to talk all things and more broadcasting with Marcus.
Hi, this is the internet, Steve Mermelstein.
Download and listen today on iTunes and at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages, the TMOS Bonus Show. Have you heard of it? It's a 6th uncensored, commercial-free episode that we record every week. It's fun, it's hilarious, but most importantly, it keeps the TMOS ship afloat. The 1 hour makes the other 5 weekly shows possible. If you already subscribe to the bonus show, that's awesome, but we also urge you to encourage other members of TMOS Nation to take the bonus show plunge. The future of the show depends on it. Just go to MikeOmaraShow.com and click the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS to continue for years to come. Now is the time to treat yourself or a friend. by helping us out. Thank you in advance. I will give you a little taste because I know people are going to go, you didn't say anything about the Masters. I'll tell you exactly where we went. We went to 18, dropped our chairs off on 18 when we walked into Augusta National. We then made our way down to the famous Amen Corner where there was a bleacher. Oh, check that. Nope. We went to the practice tee.
Okay.
And we saw this guy that didn't have a name on his bag and didn't have a caddy with a name on his back. And we're watching him. We said, who is this guy? And we're watching him early in the morning on the practice tee. Turns out that Ernie Els was playing because they have odd-numbered groups. You need a marker guy to go out to keep the pace of play the same. So
right.
This is the guy they use every year. He apparently holds the club record at Augusta National. His name is Knox. And he played with Ernie Els that day. And we got to see like Larry Mize and Ernie Els.
What is
the
accessibility
team.
Like just as, and they call them patrons, not spectators.
Yes.
What is
right.
the accessibility for the patrons to the practice tee?
You sit in a bleacher with a row of hedgerow in front of you,
uh-huh.
and you are maybe 10 to 15 feet away from these guys. Mm. It's you're right on top of
How
them,
cool
and they walk
was
out,
that?
And everybody gets a polite round of applause. We make our way then to, I think we went to the golf shop after that. It went chair on the 18th green
right.
to golf shop to get in there before the matting crowd, made it before the line starts. There is a line.
Nice.
Because, you know, 40,000 people coming through
yeah.
there with one golf shop. Then practice tee. Then from practice tee to concessions, where I will talk about that later. Then down to Amen Corner. From Amen Corner, we eventually went to 14 green. From 14 green, we went down to 16 bleacher on the 16th tee. We sat there for a while. I know Merle said she might have seen me when Phil Mickelson was coming up to 16. Merle, that's a possibility because I was on 16 when Phil Mickelson came through, but I haven't seen it on the replay, so I'm not sure whether it's true or not. From 15, we made our way right back to our seats at 18, where we had the luckiest seat in golf, and it was absolutely spectacular to witness, and I'll get back to it.
That's
but,
so cool. Wow.
I just wanted to
wow.
give people a little
Thank
Masters
you.
Feel as far as what happened there. It was special, and I'll get to it in a second. We have to get through Friday night. Friday
oh,
night,
yes.
we get into our hotel. We check in. Everything's beautiful. Everything's great. And we venture out and say, let's go out and grab some dinner. We grab some dinner. Nothing much to see other than that, you know, it's obvious this town is getting it done and getting as many covers through that restaurant as they possibly can during Masters Week because I've never seen more staff in a restaurant. This is kind of a
wow.
mid-level joint that we were in. It will go nameless simply because of self-preservation.
Mm. I hear
you. I don't want to be tracked down and killed. So anyway, the fact is we had dinner, 500 people working in there. It was like bing, bing, boom. And outside,
but isn't that
little...
Bloomin' Onion great?
We walked outside and they had a couple of tables outside. I said, well, we'll go out and have another brewski.
Sure.
Another couple of brewskis. That's where we met the man. We sit down and we start chatting with this guy. And, you know, I should know by now that when you sit down and suddenly a person starts giving you all the things they've done and, you know, it's just like, oh, I climbed Mount Everest yesterday. Well, I knew the president and I knew that. And it's not that bad. It's not that exaggerated, but it's a tad exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really have to tell this story in such a way as I don't want to identify anyone and make it even close. So I'm not going to mention profession.
All right.
I'm not going to that by the way was kind of a related profession.
Okay.
From you know, but not on the on the microphone side. So it goes on and on, and this person's interesting, and he's talking, and we're like, there, we just got into Augusta, it's not a big deal, and we're enjoying some adult beverages, and I'm enjoying a few more than Carla is enjoying, because I'm excited, and I'm listening, I'm not doing a lot of talking, I'm listening, and it gets into our business, and it gets into, you know, how to run the podcast and how to, you know, do things. And I'm listening and I'm doing a lot of listening.
Yes.
And, you know, outside of the fact that he was a spittle talker.
What's a spittle talker?
Know, a spittle talker, Oscar, is somebody, we've all probably been guilty of it, but this person was a habitual spittle talker where he's talking and the mouth is moving so fast that little tiny bits of spittle are occasionally flying in our direction.
Where was this alcohol related? Do you think
it could have been? Okay. I was not there prior, so I don't know long the individual was there. We were introduced to the owner of the joint, which I thought, well, there's a little cred. Mm-hmm. But the conversation went on and on and on, and then it just got to a point where. You know, I was getting a little bored. We're probably going to roll out of there. Mm-hmm. And then something happened that surprised me because I didn't expect it. But I also found out I've never heard anybody do it. And because I heard it, it fell right away into a category where I'm not going to sit here anymore and I'm not going to listen to you. He was talking and then suddenly started talking about his son who had done something wrong. And I don't know what it was, but he said, "Oh man, I'm going to kill my son." And you know, we've all used that figurative expression. You know, I'm going to kill this guy. I'm going to kill this guy. And then he wouldn't let it go. And then he said it again. And then he said it again. Mm. And then he got on the phone. And when he got on the phone, he was so harsh. And so intense that it was beyond off-putting. And it was also incredibly uncomfortable. My bride at this point had gone to the ladies' room. So I heard the whole conversation. And then he hung up and he's like, damn it, this son. Now, I mean, I swear to God. And then he began to get graphic about it.
Ooh.
Like in a weird way.
Like detailed?
Like I'm going to shoot him. I should shoot him and have his brain splattered all over the floor. And I'm sitting there. I begin to look at my watch. And then it's like, no, I'd go into and I would walk into his class and pay the kids $100 to kick his ass just to show him a little respect about that. And he's going. I'm like, please let this stop. I move to another side of the table because I'm like, and Carla comes back and sits down. And as soon as she sits down, he says, I'm going to kill my son. I put my hands up in the air. I said, dude, with all due respect, I don't want to hear you say that anymore. I said, I got the hairs on the back of my neck standing up. I am so... It was so disturbing and so intense to me. And to talk about a kid like this, it was just, you know, what the F are you doing? And if this is even, you know, I am praying this is bar bluster.
Yeah.
Because if any of this is true, if you're going home and that's how you're treating a human being, you know, you sick F. So I said, I don't want to hear it anymore. And you know what? Look. Your life is your life, pal, but I don't have to hear. I just don't want to hear that anymore.
What did the kid do?
I said, it was something to do with a job that he was supposed to cover for his father.
Classic teenage stuff.
Yeah.
And so I looked over, I said, I can't hear that anymore. That's why I moved over to the other side of the bar. I just don't. And he looks at me, and this is the look he goes, you think I didn't know that? And I'm like, Carla, we're leaving now. We're leaving now.
Time to go.
We had gotten the check. I get up and I just do a beeline to the car, and Carla's nowhere to be found. Well, Carla was so concerned that she had taken the tab that we had signed and tried to track down a server to give it to them, so it's not
so that you couldn't be traceable.
So it's not at the table. It was like we're this wonderful weekend. Suddenly, I found way to go, Mike. I found the crazy dude.
Wow.
I found the crazy dude.
But he spiraled so fast.
It spiraled like fast, but it was disturbing. I get over the car and I'm like, Carla gets to the car and I'm like, oh man, you better drive. I think I'm just upset and I've had a chance. She goes, you want me to drive now? And then the whole thing with the driving is revisited. You know, that I was a hypocrite for not doing that. And it's just, I mean, it's beyond terrible. It's terrible. Here it is the night before. We're going to this golf trip. It's Saturday night. It's Saturday night in Augusta, Georgia. And it's horrible. Yeah. It's gone bad because I picked the wrong guy to talk to. And it was just terrible.
Are you feeling any bad vibes from Carla because you picked that guy?
The whole thing is a bad vibe.
Okay.
The whole thing is a bad vibe on the whole car thing, and Carla can't understand how upset I am. And I'm trying to get a kindred spirit
right.
to get her to commiserate with me being the noble man for calling that guy out about the kid thing, and she's not because, like, I'm not the noble guy because I made her drive, and she didn't even know how to, you know, she hadn't been in the car yet. It was an S show. And I went to bed saying, this is going to be horrible. And, you know, because it's been such a terrible
night. And this was Saturday night.
This is Saturday night.
Oh,
I'm staying up. I'm drinking Diet Coats and eating a Choco Taco. And I'm just, you know, yeah, because this is the last weekend I'm going to eat until my surgery. So I'm sitting there going, yeah, it just, we wake up in the morning
so
and suddenly
so
things turn around, though. Things turn around dramatically because Sunday is Masters Day.
Yes.
6:45. We are down there at the hotel. We make our way to Augusta, Georgia. And I have to say that in my depleted condition, your boy managed to, Carla's got a Fitbit. I managed to walk about seven and a quarter miles up hills and down hills. My sedentary lifestyle.
This is like when the little kid.
Adrenaline.
This is like when the little kid picks a car up off his dad.
Yes,
there is
son of Jarrell.
Yeah. There is strength within you don't even know exists.
You know, 40,000 people, the crowd control that they have, letting people into this venue, and the way they manage them is spectacular. They even manage the men's room. They manage the men's room. You have attendance.
You are allowed to still hold yourself, though, right?
No. Yes, you can hold yourself. Nobody holds it for you, but they go, number one on the right, number two on the left. And, of course, I was on the left. I wanted to leave a little something at the Masters.
Yeah, it was his own amen corner.
But, you know, I mean, we have these thousands and thousands and thousands of people in this one little walkway getting in, and they open the gates at like 7:30, and they manage everybody, and it's this massive gate, and they get you through security. Airports at Hartsfield at Atlanta Airport could take some notes
on
how they manage security.
Is it still whites on the left, blacks on the right?
No, it was whites on the left, whites on the right.
What was
it's Augusta, okay? Whites at the concession stand, whites in the bleachers.
After
whites
your
on the green,
after
whites
your trip,
everywhere.
After
no,
your trip
there were,
to the
there
bathroom.
Were many people of color there that I'd be lying if I didn't say I saw a few of them.
After your trip to the bathroom, which was a bigger tourist attraction, the Eisenhower Pine or the O'Mara Loft?
Let me just say this. It was so efficient, but you realize that someone already, as you're in this line, has identified you as someone who's going to be taking a dump. That's
I know.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. But that's never been a problem for you. You've always sort of embraced that.
Yeah. I was in there a while, too, because
sure.
the night before, I was in there probably longer, I think, than any patron had
a
been.
A patron
in that
unlike any other.
But the fun thing was they had an attendant. They had attendants all
oh,
over
I
the
love
place.
It.
And you know what? They were young guys. I think they were obviously these kids that don't do this and were having fun with it. They
Good.
Really were. They were young guys and joking about it. And it was hysterical. And the atmosphere was, I mean, it's just like nothing I've ever seen. Unlike any other. There you go.
Yeah.
A dump unlike any other. And I swear to God, this is the quote. I came out of the stall and this is what the kids. This kid, it's like 22 something.
Right.
Says to me, sounds like you had a good time in there, sir.
Wow.
And I just cracked up. I'm washing my hands and laughing. What? Tears are in my eyes. I'm laughing. And I'm out there, and Carla looks at me, you know, like she does when we're in a public venue. You know, what the hell were you doing?
Yeah.
You know, I said, hey, you know, okay, cleanliness is next to godliness,
sure.
dear. You know, we got out and... It, the day is really going to begin now that I'm free.
That's true.
Now that I'm free. And yeah, we walked
after
seven
your
and a half.
Reset, Mike. That was a physical reset.
The reset as we go to the concessions, as Carla realizes that you're not allowed to bring any electronics in.
Right.
We left our cell phones back at the hotel, but they have banks of phones where you can check on your loved one, like she wants to check on the little guy.
Right.
It becomes apparent that... this is a different event than anything else. Electronics, when you get in the gate, are gone. They're gone. You don't have TV monitors on the course. You have man-made scoreboards where they change the score.
Manual,
you don't
yeah.
have anyone with a cell phone. The only technology out there, you know, outside of like the point-of-purchase places and the concession stands and the souvenir shops are walkie-talkies for the guys that are working there. But all the scoreboards are man-made, you know, man-run. So that's how you find out if you're on hole number 18. If you want to find out what's going on in 15, you've got a guy that's changing the scores. And people explode when they find out because nobody knows. You hear murmurs about what might have happened. It's that way all day long. And the crowds are amazingly friendly, like friendlier than any other sporting event that I've ever seen. We're chatting with this guy on, I think it was Amen Corner. His name was Mike from Atlanta. He is a veteran of going to the Masters, and he's a young guy. He's been going, you know, lives around there, and he's been going for a long time. And he was giving me all the lowdown, and Carla all the lowdown, and talking about the food and the concessions, which is a big topic there because things are so cheap. They've held the prices forever. And the guy goes, and you know, we're sitting there watching the golf, and he comes back and he hands us two of those Georgia peach ice cream sandwiches. And he just hands them to us. Said, "Hey, I got these for you." And I said, "Okay, check that off as something that will never ever happen at a sporting event again." He would not accept anything in payment. You know, I said, "Can I get you a drink? Can I get you a sandwich? Can I get?" We bought
such a small gesture, but really cool. You know,
yeah.
This is what.
And how did he know Mike wanted one of those?
Well, I think we know.
He must have been Oscar. He must have been clairvoyant. Was he like psychic?
Yeah, he's so.
How did he know by looking at me that I would accept ice cream?
His inner monologue said, "I would buy him ice cream if only I knew if he liked it."
Unreal.
You could have been lactose intolerant.
That's true.
Oh, my God. I hold in my hand news you may not need, which is not going to be on today. We're going to
You want to take a break real quick?
We'll take a break. I'll wrap up my my whole master's spiel, and we will come back. If I'd known that, I wouldn't have written the news you may not need. Maybe I can use it tomorrow. How are they going to get it? Anyway, we will take a break and come back, and I will give you the first menu items purchased and a total. A dollar total that Carla wanted me to share with all of you.
Cool.
And then we will talk about all the other wonderful experiences that we had at Augusta and try to get all the information in that I can because I know you, especially the people that actually made this trip happen, want to hear about it. We'll be right back.
New Orleans, a major United States port and the largest city and metropolitan area in the state of Louisiana. Hi, everybody. This is Mike O'Mara reminding you the tickets for our live show in November in the great city of New Orleans, Louisiana, are going fast. And as Rob Spiewak likes to say, laissez les bon temps ruler. And that means let the good times roll in Creole. So make sure you get on your horse and go to the Mike O'Mara Show website and click on the banner for our live TMOS show on November 4th at the House of Blues. Get on it, and we'll see you there.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. By the way, how many, 28, 38? How many tickets
I expect
left?
A sold-out call soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're close to getting a sellout, so if you need your tickets,
it
might be out of luck.
Get on it.
Give it a try today if you hear my voice. Vistaprint, sponsoring this segment of the show, all about supporting small business owners, and they are the place to go for any custom products for the home or office. Whatever you need, postcards, banners, flyers, apparel, Vistaprint can make it happen. But this one Vistaprint deal remains unbeatable. Right now, 500 business cards for just $9.99 when you enter promotional code TMOS at checkout. 500 cards for under 10 bucks. Rob Spiewak.
This is one of my favorite cards we've gotten in weeks. He's called the Die Guy. His name is Steve Chopko, and he is,
he kills people.
No, he's not a murderer. And I think I'm saying this right. It's in Newark, Delaware. They don't say Newark. They say Newark. And what he is he's a guy. He can do automotive fabric, interior repairs, auto boats, plastic, leather, cloth, and vinyl. But his total thing that he's most proud of is this Chevelle. It's a 1967 Chevelle that he rebuilt to cherry pristine goodness, and he was able to put it on his card. So take
on
a look at
Vistaprint
that.
On his Vistaprint card.
Yeah, it's so cool. Ooh. So when you hire this guy to do work, the Die Guy, he can show you actually what he has done in the past. His work is exceptional.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's a Vistaprint card. You can customize the front and back, upgrade the card stock, add a fancy finish, or even raise print. The best customer service, great quality, and your satisfaction absolutely absolutely guaranteed. Just remember to use the code TMOS at Vistaprint.com, and you'll get 500 business cards for $9.99. That's up to a 50% savings. Just visit Vistaprint.com, create your custom card, and use promo code TMOS at checkout. The quality is great. They're easy to customize, and you can't beat the deal. 500 business cards for $9.99. Remember, go to Vistaprint.com, use TMOS, and order yours today. No news you may not need today, because I want to get back to the Masters. Carla wanted to make sure that I shared with you I'm not sure the details as to when they started holding the prices for concessions, but in this day and age, when you take your kids to a hockey game, a basketball game, a baseball game, and you literally have to take a second mortgage out to take a family of four to a sporting event. Now, people will say, hey, the tickets are exorbitant to get into the Masters. Yes, they are. They're incredibly expensive to get in there. They're handed down through generations, and I think they have a lottery system, and that's how they dole them out right now. But it's expensive, especially in the secondary market, to get in there. Everybody knows that. But once you get in the door, they leave money on the table, and they are to be commended for that, because the concessions are insane. We got two sandwiches, a banana, a breakfast biscuit, and a Diet Coke. That's the first thing we had in the morning, and it was $7.50.
Whoa.
You know, you're bringing out your second 20, and you're like going, what, excuse me? And what it was all day. Sandwiches are like $1.50.
What do you tip on that, Mike?
What's that? There's no tipping.
No tipping!
There's no tipping.
Wow. Yeah, at a Redskins no game, you can get a sip of a beer for $7.
Yeah. Yeah. $7.50 would be a beverage.
Beers are $9 now.
Nine, yeah.
$9 for a domestic beer, mm-hmm. $8.25, something like that.
Yep.
Beers at Augusta for a domestic are $4, and an import are $5.
Whoa.
That's how much the beer
are. Like, and college prices.
They shut the beer down at about 4:30 in the afternoon, though, and you see the line got
4:30?
Crazy.
4:30?
Yeah, at 4:30 in the afternoon, they shut it down. Except for some people that were showing up on the green from the members section. That looked like they were getting their drink on. Yeah, there's a little of that. You gotta deal with that. And it was just it was incredible. The conversations I had with people with the what's your story? How did you get here? How did you come to get your
tickets? Is that a fairly common conversation starter?
It's just start chatting with people.
Right.
It's the rhythm of golf. It's the fact that there's.
No
lot of
cell
downtime.
Phones.
There are no cell phones.
You engage with people.
Talk to each other as human beings. That might have been it.
Pony
that subject.
Hates it.
That's
that
terrible.
Subject came up during conversation with how incredible it was. Guy was like, "I'm a lawyer. It's kind of driving me out of my mind, but I know it's a good thing." It's like,
you know,
the guys that wanted to be connected to their business were getting a little squirrely.
It would be so great to go there with Oscar, because he would start conversations with "What iPhone did you not bring today?"
What's waiting in the car
fantastic.
For you?
Fantastic. Met two brothers from the Carolinas. Met some people from Toronto, Canada.
Boo.
Met some people from all over. Met a guy from Florida. It was just it was all day long. It was conversations. It was fun. Everybody had a sense. This is the sense I got.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they'd been there before or not, everybody had a sense of how lucky they were to be there. And when I cannot believe how silly I am getting choked up about it. When I told people, I meant this when I posted it. When I would tell people how I came to be there, I would get emotional because I was so grateful for what people in the fan club had done for me to get me there. And I was looking forward to it. There's no doubt about it. But I had no idea I was going to be, as Carla said, she said, I was sitting up on a bench at one point. I had a Diet Coke and like one of their little Master's sandwiches. And she said, I looked like I was 8 years old.
Aww.
I looked like a little 8-year-old boy. I was wide-eyed. It was so, I'd watched it for my entire life.
Yeah.
And to be there and to realize that I was, that the experience was so easy to get around and see things. I should say easy. I will tell you, walking up the 18th hole, which is, there is elevation there, guys.
Yeah.
Right now, my calves today are just going, what were you thinking?
How
How dare you?
And it's like, I hate you so
dehydrated.
Much.
You know, you get dropped off by a shuttle bus, and then the 12-mile drive, you know, up to the, and then, yeah, we walked about 7 or 8 miles. Carla probably knocked out 9 miles yesterday.
Trying to stay away from you? Or
Sunday, Saturday.
Can you discuss the beauty of the actual club, the grass, the way everything's
pristine.
Appointed?
There's not a blade. It's true. There's not a blade. They put stuff down for... where the crowds are walking, that mean, you know, they're going to vacuum it up and it's going to be pristine in a week. That's how incredible it was. They got an early spring, so you didn't have the blooming azaleas. You probably noticed that on TV, that they didn't have the azaleas like they had. But the course is incredible. The accessibility, you know, that you could walk around, you're not going to see the leaders because you're going to be 8 deep or 9 deep if
right.
you're following Sergio and Justin Rose. But if you want to see golf and you want to see the different people, you can get up close and personal to the guys. The rolling hills, the birds, by the way, are real. I always thought they were piped in by CBS. The birds chirping.
They sometimes do, but not for this.
No, I don't think there's any way they had to pipe anything in, because you hear that soon as you arrive.
Water looked dyed, or did the water look real?
The water looked real. It did not look like it was dyed.
Okay.
And it was super green. You know, Amen Corner was as pretty as you can imagine. And then on top of all of that, you had the actual experience of the tournament. And we realized that by putting our seats at 7:45 in the morning, by putting our seats on the 18th green, that we were going to see history being made with Sergio Garcia winning. It was even for Carla's not a golf fan. She doesn't play it. She doesn't like it. She doesn't like it when I watch it. She was all in based on the experience that was there with everybody having such a great time. Yes, Oscar.
Mike, this just in from Diego, our intern. How green was the grass?
The birds are real, Diego. The birds are. By the way, as soon as the tournament was over, they send these kids out, these like high school kids that work, I'm sure they're from the local high schools, with trash bags. They are picking up every single bit of, by the way, most people police their station pretty
sure.
well, but there were a ton of water bottles on the 18th green because it was warm there, and they're immediately, I'd say within a half an hour, the tens of thousands of people on that green, it's done.
Wow.
It's finished.
One That's question is, we got a letter in the mailbag last week that said that if you clearly mark your chair where you leave it, and you left yours,
you leave
on the
it all
18th,
day,
that people respect it.
We left our chair on the 18th green at about 7:45 in the morning.
Because you got there when the gates opened at 7:30. You went straight to 18.
When the gates opened, we walked. We spent the whole day. Got back at 3:45 in our chair and sat in our chair for the rest of the
day. That's wild, man.
That's remarkable.
And everybody does that. That's anywhere you go. That's the way they do it. A guy said, get in the hole. I heard that one time. The security, 4 security guys were eyeballed. They didn't get them. But they all raised their head. You don't F around.
Wow.
They don't allow you to be a douchebag at this
like
golf
Arlington
tournament.
Cinema Draft House.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's exactly like that. I think people. But the biggest thing I will tell you, outside of the restaurant where we met the crazy man and the man they honored behind the bar, big giant picture behind the bar of this famous individual, which kind of took me aback. Maybe I should have known I was going to meet a crazy guy at the bar after I saw who they were honoring behind the bar. Richard Nixon.
Really?
Yeah.
Big golfer.
Big picture. Big
golfer.
Giant picture of Tricky Dick behind the bar. It was insane. It was so much. It was just so special. All day long was great. And then to see it, the only thing is, the people that follow the leaders, they came back to their seats at the last minute. And that was the entitled group.
Sure.
That was the only time during the entire tournament. There's a guy that was maybe 20 feet to the left of us that came in and he couldn't find his hold on just a second. Masters Sunday. Frankie, shut up. Hi. I wasn't yelling at you, buddy. That was my son that was looking through the
window. Oh no.
No, he's smiling at me.
Okay.
He's smiling.
Smile.
That's right.
Thank you.
He's gonna get yelled at too.
Hey, stop it. That's I don't do that. The thing about it was, where was I? I lost my train of thought.
Mike. You were yelling at your kid.
No. You were yelling at the body. Richard Nixon was hung behind the bar.
You got the skinny guy coming in late.
Carla, come on in here for a second.
Hey, you know what would shut Frankie up?
Family pet dog biscuit.
It's true. Dogs love them.
It was special. In a word, Carla, just a word. Carla caught a cold while she was there. So, in a word, your description of the weekend. How would you describe it? How would you describe the weekend?
Well,
can you lean down so they can
see?
Oh, hi, Carla.
I can't describe it in a word, but I can say that I felt like a little kid that played all day long.
Okay, that's how she looks at it. And my driving?
Your driving is awesome.
That's a lie.
Good one. So it was, the whole thing it's not like anything else I've ever experienced in a group. I hate crowds. I hate being part of that, being at the event. This was a different story. This was, I was delighted to be part of the event. And my gratitude to the people that did this, I will never adequately be able to share it. I hope I got some of that online. And I hope I called the Sparrow, had a conversation with him, and it was great talking to him too.
Two quick questions. One is your son on spring break? And two is...
Yes, Michael is on spring break.
That must be so much fun as a little kid in Florida. You can do so many things.
Yeah, he's off this entire week, so we're going to be running out there. I think we're taking him on a little drive today.
That's nice. To go see,
yeah, I'm not sure. We got a million things we can do.
And then is seeing Sergio win his Masters after really a week of people saying he'd never win one. They have him on tape talking about it.
He had a reputation as a choke guy in the big tournaments. And what I want, and this I got from TV too. But you saw it out there when Justin Rose put his hand up on Sergio's face, and just this was, I don't care what sport you're passionate about, this was a primer in how grown-ups should behave.
Yeah.
This is still the last sport where total sportsmanship is encouraged, where two guys wanted to beat each other's brains out in the golf tournament. There's the disappointment that Justin Rose was experiencing, I don't even know how anyone could describe,
quantify,
being
or qualify.
That close
I heard
to your Super Bowl and then reacting like Justin Rose is right now, as much as I'm a fan of Sergio's, but Justin Rose is at the absolute top of people I admire, unquestionably. Never seen more class and sportsmanship demonstrated in anything. The guy is a world-class human being.
And it's not easy. I don't know if you heard it on the green, Mike. You were there. We were watching on television. But a chant broke out, Rose blows, Rose blows,
no,
Rose
I don't
blows.
Think
and he
that's
played
what
through
they were
that.
Saying.
And he played through that. I thought that was remarkable.
Really?
No, I'm just messing with you.
Oh, God. I was like, what? I wasn't anywhere near that.
Rose
I was chanting
blows.
Sergio. Sergio.
Now that
Sergio
we did here, yeah.
And that's only after he won Rose Blows. Those guys,
Oscar
they are
loves
friends.
When things rhyme. He really does.
He's great at rhyming.
You are good, yeah.
Those
5-year-old.
Those guys are friends, but it doesn't matter. I mean,
Did you feel the tension, though, when they were actually playing and they were competing? Do you feel it?
Oh, my God. First of all, we're sitting up there on the 18th green. We don't know what's going on. We didn't know that he had that Rose had missed the putt. We didn't even know till the last second when he had pulled pushed his drive into the right and that he had to punch out. We didn't know that, so we thought maybe Sergio had to make that birdie putt to win the championship. It was spectacular. It was just sportsmanship abounding.
Wow.
But to be a part of that, and then really when you get through that, don't think I haven't lost sight of the fact that. When you're looking at all the rich guys, the rarefied air, here's the way the story goes. To be a member at Augusta, if you say or go public or anybody ever hears you say, I'd like to be a member there, you'll never get in.
Mm.
You're handpicked, you're selected, and you get into, these are the captains of industry, but not anybody can get in there.
All right, let me say this. I do not want to be a member.
I don't want to be a member either.
Yeah.
I don't want to be.
Not
but
a
it
chance.
Was
right. Look,
I think that there's a lot that you could throw darts at because of these guys and the way they maybe, kind of use the town, exploit the town. You get a sense of that. You get a vibe of that. You hear that about when the tournament's over. This goes back to being a one-horse town, and it's a little frustrating. But at the same time, I think you probably have to have a few a-holes to run an event like this and make it so perfect. And if you get a chance to slide in there, you know, for one day, as I said, I don't think I'll go back. I don't think I'd ever want to, you know, experience that again. I'd rather just sit back and let other people do it. And it was amazing. Absolutely.
But how many one horse hounds don't have a master's though? So yeah, at least exactly. They have that to bring in the revenue. Yeah, and everything.
I get the only thing I would change. When I watch golf, I will tell you this, it is the last, to me, it is the last place where you get true sportsmanship.
And even sportsmanship more than wrestling.
Sportsmanship is where you congratulate the guy. You could see how raw Justin Rose was at the end, and he's digging it. And then it was cool.
Did you eyeball Sergio's wife?
Fiance. From a long distance, but I certainly did. You know, when I watched the tournament on TV, you know,
nice
great gams.
Yeah.
Hit the alarm, Rob.
She's a happy lady.
Very, very
so
happy.
Who's
lady.
That?
Outside of that, let me see if I got anything. The last thing I wanted to say was our shuttle driver from the hotel to the golf course. There are Southern accents, and then there are Southern accents. I am a dialectician. I pride myself on the fact that I am able to duplicate accents, and I also pride myself on the fact that I'm able to fairly well understand anyone who's speaking English, even if it has a heavy accent. That was not the case with the shuttle driver.
Can you replicate it at all?
You would have to ask me a question like where we're going or right, you know,
how much farther is it to our destination at the golf club?
I don't, there's a little fan about it, go down or turn off that for that.
Wow.
The guy looked like, who did he look like? I'm trying to think. Our driver, maybe like Joe Dirt, a little bit like but older, like a 60-year-old Joe Dirt.
David Spade is now.
Click, 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 don't you? But Gusta goes to Georgia. But Paddles is going to be on a week later. We're going to sit falls in time. And we go down and sit feather. I said, now, will you be there to pick up on the way back? Well, there's a same parking lot next to Pep Boys, right over there. Zone. And come on down after I said, provide out the Gusta going to state of Paul Matadibo, Bashel Bone, the Panatate.
And you know what the sad thing about that was?
With you.
Is after you got off the bus, Carla said, why can't you drive like him?
I know. It was spectacular. It was. God bless.
What did you buy at the pro shop?
Yeah. What are your gifts?
Got mugs. Got a little souvenir hat marker, ball marker that goes on the visor. Got a visor, a golf shirt, and I bought a brand new car. Masters colored car.
An Augusta.
Brand new, yeah.
Oh, you didn't get what I wanted you to get. One thing for me, and I guess you didn't get it.
What's that?
The Tom Weisskopf personal lubricant. You can only get it there.
They were out. They always saw out of that the first day.
Augusta Glide.
Augusta Glide.
But we didn't forget you guys. A lot of plastic cups that will be coming your way.
Nice.
Yes, sir. Plastic cups that everybody collects there. Fantastic. And,
did you have to fight the kids that were picking up trash to get those cups?
Give me that cup,
I'll be presenting those to you on stage at the House of Blues in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Nice.
Your ceremonial green. Would you like the clear soft drink cup, or would you like the green-tinted beer cup?
Oh, beer cup.
Yeah, green, Mike. Green.
Okay, we had less of those, believe it or not. Too many on Friday night. With the man who wanted to scatter his son's brains on the floor.
At the Richard Nixon bar.
Oh. Thank you. The birds are real. Who cares? God bless you all. Thank you. We'll come back. Rob's got some little sounds to wrap up the show. Whoa, whoa, right here on the Michael Barrow Show.
The TMOS Elite Whiskey Society presents Questions for a Whiskey Drinker.
Here's a letter from Will in New Hampshire. Will writes, why whiskey? Well, Will, because whiskey puts hair on your chest, not on your palms.
Check out the TMOS Elite Whiskey Society.
Okay, all right. Sorry. Heard that one too many times. Come on, Marcus. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Amazon.com.
You just made a little boy's day in Vermont.
Not on your palms. We love our partnership with Amazon because they are the best. And number two, when you access Amazon through us, we get a small percentage of whatever you spend there. The next time you visit Amazon, do it through our website or our app. It changes nothing for you. It means everything to us. Remember, it costs you nothing. So when you're Amazoning, please access it via TMOS. Use the app, use the website, or bookmark MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. And if you're getting ready for spring and summer, check out the amazing home and garden deals on the front page of MikeOMaraShow.com. Price is so good, you won't mind doing yard work. I like Rob looking over at Oscar for approval with that. See what I did? Say what I did, George. Look what I did. I put that on the. I put that in the copy, George.
I got no approval, and it hurts.
Yeah, you didn't. He didn't give you anything, did
nothing,
he? He usually
not a
gives
drop.
You a thumbs up.
Mike,
you
we talked about this. No positive reinforcement.
That's right. Okay,
he gets none.
He said I would get a chocolate kiss.
Please remember. A peep.
A something. A little something.
I have a peep story in the news. Anyway, didn't get to it. Thank you for supporting us. Let's open up the
Mike,
vault.
Just so you have a little more context, yes. On the front of MikeOMaraShow.com, the guys now on our Amazon banner, which is as big as New York,
is... It's Hartsfield Airport big.
It's Manhattan.
Don't spit.
And right. As you can tell, we need your support. They write something witty every day as the headliners. So
if it's not witty, it's certainly clever.
Yes.
So we have that.
We're trying harder, people.
We are.
We're trying harder. This is a time when we need you to step it up.
We
okay,
need you to
people?
Try harder, people.
Yeah, you try harder now.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
so
you
this
much.
Guy got dragged off United Airlines yesterday. We're running really late, but this is the way he screamed.
I have to go home. I have to go home.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's when he was back on. This was the
That's
scream.
When he was bloody.
And still a better flight than Southwest.
Is that they overbooked and they just picked him out randomly?
Yeah, and he wouldn't give up his seat. Because he said he was a doctor.
Overbooking ought to be illegal.
I agree.
Period.
I agree. You're selling something you don't have.
Right. If you have to eat three or four seats on an airplane, you make tough crap. Mm-hmm. I think it's horrible. I think it ought to be eliminated from the industry.
I think
it was regulated, it didn't happen.
You know what? I think this one incident is going to make, I think it's going to put it back.
It's true, Pony. I swear to God, he deregulated the industry. They didn't pull that crap before.
Look at
that.
The other side of the argument. You had
you always find that one.
You had a lady that was coming from LaGuardia to Florida, and she
made $11,000.
She got bumped three times. Yeah. The most I've ever gotten was $600 to stay.
Somebody got some family got like $11,000doing it all day, taking advantage of it.
Did you know that the top end of basically a standby bump, if you're gonna get paid, is $1,350. That's a hard line. You can't go above $1,350. I didn't even know you could go that high.
$1,350.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. That's pretty. But they just cashed in because they didn't have to be back anywhere because they probably didn't need the money.
They were gonna go visit their family and they had to cancel the family trip.
And they don't like the family
they
anyway.
They hate the family.
That's
$11,000. I love my family. I would have skipped my family for $11,000.
No, for $11,000 you could have my Aunt Gail.
I would skip my family for $11,000.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Aunt Gail is one of my favorites. There's others though we could talk about.
Nice save.
Gail and Bill. Mike, I don't watch the Today Show anymore, but occasionally a highlight comes my way that I have to share. Okay. Jenna Bush Hager, we tagged her at first as someone who couldn't talk.
Right.
Now she doesn't even know what to talk about. She's on with Kathy Lee.
She's so stupid.
I'm so sorry. She's so dumb. She's on with Kathy Lee, and the discussion is people that ask you to take your shoes off before you come into their house.
Okay.
Which is something of a trend right now. And they say that they don't like it. But where Jenna Bush Hager takes it is that...
You've never been in a home before and that's happened?
I'm saying that it's a trending up topic.
More
it's one
people
they were
do
discussing.
It now.
Oh, okay, okay.
More right. people. My sister does it. Mm. And, you know, we don't do it. Come on. Come on, Jessica. Walk through the mud. Come right into the floor. We'll clean it.
Yeah, I like walking through the house, but I've been to, growing up, I knew do not wear holy socks, not the ones you wear to church, but the ones that you walk around
when you're
in.
Going to a certain home.
And because they will make you take them off as soon as you walk in.
Take the shoes off.
Yes.
Sucks.
But this goes in a direction no one expected because Jenna Bush Hager is dumb.
A lot of people ask that when you come to visit them, they ask if you'll please take your shoes off.
Yeah. My husband does that. That really is sort of embarrassing.
But what if your feet are filthy?
They're less filthy than
what if they're gnarly?
Do you want to know the truth? My grandma's missing a toe on each foot.
She's missing a toe.
Barbara?
Is missing a toe on each foot.
Has she ever divulged that?
Not that I know of.
Aww,
but she has darling feet, and it happened, and they look huge.
Is it the big one that's missing?
I think it's the second Ganny. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it.
She is
the
such
former
a rube.
First lady of the United States.
A respected first lady.
Oh my god, Rob, you sold that the wrong way. That brought me a lot of joy.
Is that the gout or the beaties that gets that?
They were vague and they changed the subject awfully quick. But I don't know what disease would take the second toe. I just don't know. This
the
I have
gout
to,
or the beaties.
Oh god, we are running so late. Go to our YouTube page and our Facebook page to watch the funeral dove that is released and flies into a truck. That's all I'm going to say. It's not funny at all.
Oh, no.
Except
oh.
It is. And okay. We discussed this yesterday, and Conan addressed it last night. Let's talk about this right now. Mike, you go to Florida, you buy a bagged salad, and you never know what you're going to get.
Crazy, a package of salad mix. A package of salad mix that was sold in a Florida Walmart was found to contain a dead bat. This
your
is
favorite,
shocking right? news. Shocking news. Someone shopping at Walmart bought a salad.
Mike, the last time I bought a bag of salad, I had Barbara Bush's toe in it. That's your magic audio vault. Welcome home, Mike. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
I hope I summed up the Masters adequately.
Very well.
But I want to sum up my gratitude. Thank you for letting that happen. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Snail Mail, Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Don't forget tomorrow, Wide Open Wednesday. We'll take your phone calls at 888-920-6673, and we would love to hear from you, everybody. For Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and our executive producer, Matt Ponyboy Billy Payne Bloom, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for your favorite part of the day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
Toes.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.